Praise God. Things are definitely happening, aren't they? There's a mighty move of God. There's things that are happening. The world is changing. And we're about to see tremendous things happen by the end of this month. Amen. We have two feasts that are going to be fulfilled. The Feast of Atonement. Hallelujah. And the Feast of Trumpets. And God is shaking and a quaking this place. Globally. It's amazing what's happening. You know, one of the things I was realizing is that there's not enough teaching of how to access God's presence. There's not enough how do you access God's presence. So you can lift your hands and you can do all kinds of stuff and dance. That ain't going to access God's presence. You got to speak and sing the words. Because you got to sow in the Spirit, because Spirit means breath. You got to sow in the Spirit so you can reap life. Amen? See, access to God's presence is you must purchase it. And how do you purchase it? You sow. You sow. You sow until access is granted. Then the next thing, you find yourself on the other side. And there's a change. See, too many people are still living out of their carnal mind and out of their soulish and their feelings and their emotions. They're not living out of the Spirit. And it's causing individuals to backslide. It's causing individuals to not be fulfilled. It's causing individuals to go back to using drugs and alcohol. Why do people use drugs and alcohol? They're looking for God's presence, only it's the devil's presence. Remember, who you serve when you die is where you go. Don't give me this once saved, always saved garbage. Because that ain't the truth. You expect God to rescue you after you've been serving the devil? No, it comes to repentance. You must come to repentance. Amen? So people think that they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, which there really is not their Lord. See, when He's your Lord, He's your Lord. He's the Lord of your life. It's different. Amen? That means you're not living for you no more. He said, look, I want to give you a new life. You said, I want it. He says, okay, this is what I want you to do. Follow me. And in following me, you're going to find a process where your soul is going to be converted. You're going to find a process where things are going to be removed because you've been trying to remove them yourself, but you can't. See, only one can change you is the one who created you. Amen? So you're going to cooperate with Him to change you. And as He's changing you, you're learning more. You're getting a new identity. And that identity is preparing your destiny. Without the true identity of who you are, you will drift from one destiny to another and never hit the right one. Amen? So there's things that the Holy Spirit wants to talk about tonight. And it's called common temptations. Common temptations. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands, hello. Let him who thinks he's strong, let him who thinks he's standing and doing the right things, take heed lest he fall. See, that word that he's talking about, stand, means you're standing in yourself, your own strength, not God's strength. He says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Idolatry, in other words, idols, idolatry. What's your idol? You know what's the common temptation? Is us. Self. That is the common temptation to everything. What? To fulfill self. To fulfill self. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body. For we all are partakers of the bread. One bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything? Or what is offered to idols is anything? rather than the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons. And not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You know, many people are having fellowship with demons that don't even realize. Addiction is, what's the word come from? Pharmakia. Black magic, witchcraft, and sorcery. What's behind alcohol? Did you ever drive by those places and a bar that says food and spirits? They need to tell people the truth. Food and demons. Why? They're cursed items. They draw demonic presence. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Wow. Again, many think that they're good, understanding, strong, but are actually weak to common temptations. You know, just like even in pain, some people, they're crybabies. There's no level of endurance. And God's looking for those who can endure. You know, somebody might have a headache or whatever. There are people that no matter what ache there is, they're crying out for medication. No endurance. You know? They can't move through it. They become their own idol. Why? Why are people their own idols? Because the focus is on them all the time. And that's what the enemy wants you to do, is keep your focus on you so you can't keep it on the Lord. Amen? Idolatry is focus on idols. In other words, we can become the weak link of self. And whether you're going to partake in a cup of demons or the cup of the Lord. Common temptations. What's the common temptation? Us. Self. The enemy knows our weaknesses, doesn't he? Look at how many times people get offended or whatever, or rejected. And what do? They turn to the world and go get stupid. Why? Because the demon must get fed that's in them. Well, I've been a believer 15 years. Yeah, you still carry demons. Some people don't believe Christians can have demons. Well, Jesus cast out demons out of believers. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him what? Deny himself. Him what? Himself. And take up his cross and follow me. What's he saying? You gotta deny yourself, man. Amen. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will what? Find it. For what profit is a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each one according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Again, denying yourself and emotional desires of worldliness. And we know that there's lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Always, these individuals are always in want. Want. Me, me, me. I need this. I want this. I want this. Why? Because where's the focus? On self. They become the idol. Amen. Why? Because they've never crossed over. They haven't reached that place. They haven't reached that level of exchange. Always in want, need. They're unstable. They can't wait on the Lord for direction. They are anxious. But what if? Yeah, what if? Can you not trust God? Amen. The common temptation is always on us. Amen. We're the common source of the temptation. Self, the old man. Luke 14:25. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and he said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's pretty high qualification there. I mean, think about that. That's a high qualification if you really want to be one of his disciples. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish? You know how people say, yeah, I'll do whatever it takes. Oh, really? We'll see. Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able to win 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Again, that question was brought to me. Do you want a new life? Or do you want to just get off the drugs and alcohol? Well, I've always wanted to get off the drugs and alcohol, but I really never thought I could have a new life. And I had to think about that. And I realized before I answered that what the question was meaning, you had to forsake it all. Let it all go. Let everything go. And let me restore it and not you. And so I said, I was expecting something tremendous to happen. And I said, I want a new life. And he said, show me. Wait a minute. So after a process of time, about 2 months later, I did everything I could to show God that I wanted a new life. Just about locked myself in the closet. And then he came to visit me. Why? He knew I wanted a new life and I was willing to do whatever it took. To forsake it all. See, so many times people are so caught up in themselves and they're afraid to forsake everything, not thinking that he's God. So everything that you forsake, he can double. But see, in that moment in time, because of the carnal mind, well, if I give up this, how am I going to get it? What about this? What about that? No. Forsake it all. You show him. That's one of the things I had to do. Because what did he say to me? Show me. Show me. And when I did, I got a new life. Now he said, now I'm going to teach you how to maintain that new life. See, so many people have gotten a new life and trampled it. They've taken it for granted. They've forsaken it. Thinking because they got a new life that it gives them the legal right to do whatever they want now. Well, that's not true. Amen? Now we have maintained that new life. Ooh. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Let's go somewhere. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the what? Last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of what? Themselves. Me, myself, and I, Trinity. Satanic Trinity. Lovers of money, so they'll be lovers of self, lovers of money. Lovers of self, lovers of money. People spend more time seeking to get money sometimes than they do God. In fact, they've left the true connection with the Lord to seek money. You know, I was offered, and the Lord was showing me, because he said, I'll make you an entrepreneur in the kingdom of God. But then he said to me, or I want you to start a discipleship. And I thought about, because I was an entrepreneur of BC, I thought, no, it's not about the money, Lord. It's about the souls. It's about training up and raising up souls. And you will always provide the money because that's your will. See, when you're falling in God's will, he always provides the funds. No matter how it looks. Always. You don't have to chase money. It will come to you. Does everybody understand that? Always. But you got to be willing to deny yourself. Not stop being the common temptation of self. Oh, hallelujah. For men will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, and without self-control or control over self, brutal despisers of good. They'll become traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They will have a form of godliness, but they're going to deny his power. How would you deny his power? By denying that he can do all things. That nothing is impossible with him. That's denying his power. By getting in his way and trying to fix something when you're not supposed to. Hello? I've had to tell people, stop being playing God and let God be God. Get out of the stinking way. Why? It's so much more fun. I'd rather watch the hand of God move than mine. Hallelujah. For of this sort are those who creep into households, ministries, businesses, make captives of gullible men and women. They load them down with sins and lead them away with various lusts, which are desires to fulfill self. Always learning. Oh, they got the knowledge. They're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Which why? Knowing the truth and practicing the truth, living the truth, sets you free. Does everybody understand that? And it says this, now Jannes and Jabez resisted Moses, so these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith. Man, you don't want to be known as disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifested in all, as theirs also was. Wow. They'll be lovers of self. You know, when an individual falls into that place, self in that area of love of self, it repeats the same temptations of want over and over. They fall into it over and over and over. The same temptation, they fall into it. Does everybody understand that? Not able to reach a level of death to self. They fall into that temptation over and over of want or selfish desire. In 1 John chapter 2, in verse 15, these are the three categories of temptation, but they're aimed at us. Amen? We're the common ground to all temptation. It says what? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the desire to fulfill the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Why? Because when an individual is more caught up in themselves, they cannot fulfill the will of God. They're still trying to fulfill their will, their desires. It's all about me. Amen? All of these categories are of temptations, all are aimed at self. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 1, please. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, bearing of one accord of one mind. Amen. Being of one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through what? Selfish ambitions or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. In other words, don't always want to be first in line. Hello. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Selfish ambitions. It's the I want syndrome. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, when he's your true shepherd, you're not going to want. You're going to pray for things. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. You're laying these seeds before the Lord and you let it be. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he's what? Proud. Knowing nothing. See, everything must align with the Word of God. He's proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. Now godliness with contentment is great gain, but we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, when God gives you a new life and you're willing to do whatever it takes, and so many times he's saying, let this go, let this go, let this go, and people aren't willing to let it go. But Lord, this is my future. No, your future is in him now. I remember when I came into the kingdom, and that still stayed with me. Show him, show him, show him you're willing to do it. Man, I had anti-limousines, and I said, man, get rid of them. Everything, anything that I had, I wanted gone. I didn't want to have anything to do with my past life. Although I did have in gold, had Jesus in the back. I had a 46 Chrysler stretch limo, and it was all tinted black, big white tires on it. People said, what do you do? I said, I had a show for the Lord. But got rid of it. I got rid of everything, anything associated with my old life. And I was in debt like crazy. And I didn't know what to do. I said, Lord, there's no way I'm going to pay these debts. My house was foreclosed on. I didn't know what to do. He said, don't worry about it. I'm driving down the road and my car breaks down. Thinking, what the heck's the problem? Because my gas gauge didn't work, you know. But I always carried a tank of gas with me, an extra gallon or whatever. But it happened to break down right in front of a Cumberland Farms. So I went in there, and they were right there. And the magazine rack was the file bankruptcy. And I said, but I've been told, Lord, that it's not good for a Christian to file bankruptcy. You know how the religious are. And I said, what do you want me to do? He says, use the law of the land. That's what I created it for. I said, okay. So I filed bankruptcy. I owed $30,000 or something, whatever. And after I did, and my house was foreclosed on or whatever, and I got free from that and so forth, I got a call. I got a call from the VA because I was an ex-vet. And they said, listen, you know, they're foreclosing on your house. I said, yeah. She goes, what happened? And I told her what happened, and I've been an addict, this, that, and whatever. I was able to make payments. I owed thousands of dollars, $10,000 lien on the house, this and that, whatever. She goes, yeah. She goes, well, you probably have to find a place to move to because they're going to come eventually and take it over. I said, well, if that's God's will. She calls me 2 weeks later, and she says, you know what, I got to tell you something. I said, what's up? She goes, I've never seen this, but they're actually looking at helping you. I said, oh. She calls me a couple weeks later and says, I've never seen this in my life. I've been in this and doing this for 20-something years. She said, they actually bought back your mortgage for you. I said, what? She said, they bought back your mortgage. And they're giving it back to you at a cheaper interest rate than you had it before. She goes, I don't know how that happened. I said, his name is Jesus. So you can't tell me there ain't nothing he can do. But you got to surrender. You got to let him build that new life. And you got to maintain that position the rest of your life. Because it's not your life, it's his life. And we got to stay out of the way and let him build the house and not us. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. If we'll just stay out of the way. Amen? Lord, where do you want me to work? What do you want me to do? He didn't want me to work at first. He wanted me to stay home with him. My wife was a nurse. I felt like, you know, it just didn't seem right. But she was like, putting me through, paying my way through college, you know. So I'd spend around 4 hours a day with the Lord. And then finally he said, do this or whatever. And I said, okay. Because when I said to my wife, I'm going to go get a job, babe. I can't let this happen. And she goes over my dead body. I said, whoa. I guess I'm not supposed to work right now. So I didn't. And then one thing led to another, and God opened the door to all kinds of things. Listen, my house was restored. My furniture was cardboard boxes. My wife used to give me an allowance. I'd get $20. I didn't even have a phone. And I'd end up giving that $20 away to someone that was in need. And she knew it. Man, I'm telling you, I've seen so many things, it's incredible. I could go on and on and on. That's why he says, deny yourself. So when things are struggling, things are happening, you got to ask yourself, God, here, take it. You make the choice. I'll step in the open door and not try and open a door that you closed. I surrender it all. I give it to you. I deny myself. You're my God, and there ain't nothing that you can't do. You hold the universe. You hold the future. You hold the past. You hold it all. You hold my destiny. Hallelujah. You hold me up. Glory. Does everybody understand? Hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example of those who afterward would live ungodly. Ooh. So you want to really know what God does to the ungodly? Look what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah and Noah. It's time. And the Bible says that in these days, in these last days, the same thing that happened in the days of Noah and the same of Sodom and Gomorrah during Lot's time is going to happen again. And he delivered the righteous. He delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly. I said the godly, not the ungodly. The godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, where angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Powerful. God delivers the upright from temptations, not the wicked. Amen. Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your thoughts, your mind, your thoughts on things above, not on things of the earth. You know, some people are still more focused on the things of the earth than they are above. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. In other words, put to death your members of temptation. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh, which is the works of self, are evident, which is what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, which is drugs and alcohol, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions and heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. Does everybody understand that? This is vital. So many people think, well, I'm a good person, I'm going to heaven. No, you ain't. Not until you what? Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Psalm 116. Starting at verse 12. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord, now in the presence of all his people. Oh, verse 15. Are you ready for this one? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. In other words, you're denying yourself. That's precious to God, to deny yourself. Oh Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maid servant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. Again, he delights in the death of his saints. That means individuals that are denying themselves. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it. Always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for everything. That's all about self, isn't it? Be anxious for what? Nothing. Remember, the devil pushes, the spirit leads. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So when you're being pushed by the enemy, go pray. But I got to do this. No, you don't. God's able to do everything. It says, go pray. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your thoughts through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Boy, that sounds simple enough, isn't it? I'm going to close at Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for the good. To who? Those who love God. Okay, if you love him, you what? Obey him. To those who are called according to his purpose. Are you fulfilling his purpose? For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also raised, and who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Isn't it nice that Jesus is praying for me and you? What's he saying? Get out of the way. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. That means you're denying yourself all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Hallelujah. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Powerful. Powerful. When you find yourself in anxious mode, stop. Just stop. And ask yourself, why am I so anxious? You know, one day I was having a discussion in my living room with the Lord. And I said, you know what? I don't know about this, and this. Next thing I know, in the spirit, he's at the other end of the couch. And his legs were crossed. And he looks to me and he says, Guy. I said, yes, Lord. He said, What can you do that I can't? Okay. Got it. Sorry, here. Take it. Because I was trying to figure it out. No, just give it away. Give it to him. What does he say? Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Okay, Lord, you care for me. Take it. It's yours. Don't take it back, though. Amen? Don't take it back. What you vowed to, you better fulfill it. Or you'll bring a curse on yourself. And worse things will happen down the road. It may not happen today, but it will come. Amen? Fulfill it. You know, again, we are the common ground of temptation. There isn't anybody that's not tempted, but God delivers the righteous. And we are more than a conquerors, and we're to overcome temptations. No matter what it is, anxiety is the number one thing. We're always anxious. My wife says to me sometimes, Guy, you're impatient. I said, no, I'm just in a hurry. See, she fast foods. I'm fast. I just move fast all the time. So I tell her, I'm fasting all the time. You have fast food. I'm fasting all day. I live a life of fast. I move everywhere fast. Praise God. But I'm not anxious. It's called lightning. Hallelujah. Again, don't fall into that snare. Recognize it. That's the most important thing. Recognize it and stop. Again, we all become anxious at some time, or that temptation or whatever. Well, what about, you know, and the enemy's always going to tempt you with money. Oh, man, does he tempt you with money. Boy, and then you make all these, boy, Lord, if I had that money, I could do a lot for the kingdom. Right. You end up killing yourself. I'll release the money to you when it's time. Does everybody get this? We gotta be wiser than the serpent and gentle as a dove. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And everything that's been imparted to us tonight, help us, Lord. Let it be a part of our spirit and a part of our life so that we can grow and mature and overcome every temptation from ourselves and from the enemy. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.